You back, Patrice?
All right. Back.
All right, and we do have a quorum. So
all right. I think if we have a quorum, then why don't we start? Good afternoon to all on the call to the April 24th CROG Transportation Committee meeting, our regular meeting of the month. I will start with roll call. And Kara, did you want to do this?
Sure. Just giving everyone a quick reminder, as we did last month, we are going to dispense with the roll call since we do have a quorum. But if everyone could please change your display name to be your full name and your affiliation, we would appreciate that, as we'll be using the Zoom log for minute purposes.
Okay. Thank you. We will start with second item on our agenda, which is public forum. If there is anyone in the public who wishes to address the committee at this time, we will hear your questions and concerns. I can't see everybody, so if there is anyone, could one of you notify me, please? All right. Well, hearing none and seeing none, we will move on to the adoption of minutes for the Transportation Committee meeting from March 20th, 2023. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Frank Diller, a motion to approve.
Thank you, Frank. Do I have a second?
Larry Burrell, second.
Thank you, Larry. Is there any discussion or amendments to the minutes? All right, I will ask for a vote in favor of approval of the minutes. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Are there any abstentions? And I will begin. Patrice Carson, Town of Bolton, abstain.
Chris Edge, Town of Berlin, abstain.
Thanks, Chris.
Dylan Riley, Town of Farmington, abstain.
David Smith, Vernon, abstain.
Neil Pate, Canton, abstain.
Devin Copperwaite, Stafford, abstain.
And that sounds like it. Thank you very much. And we'll move on to staff reports. 60 seconds for safety. UDOT roundabouts video, Roger.
Thank you, Patrice. So Utah DOT put together a very good video on roundabouts, why they're good safety countermeasures and how they work. And I thought it might be a very good tool in the future that you might want to use like at a public meeting. So just want to take a look at this quickly and share it with you, and we can let her roll.
This is going to take a second. Bear with me, please.
Okay. So it's just a good tool. It's short. It's kind of a snappy, nice video. So
roundabouts can seem kind of foreign to a lot of Utah drivers. I mean, in Utah, you might have stop signs or stop lights or, I don't know, yield signs or no signs at all. But check this out. We've had roundabouts in Utah for over 30 years. There's hundreds of these strange, not so strange, intersections all over the state. And they can go on a variety of roads. One lane, two lane, roads from 25 to 65 miles per hour. And they work surprisingly well in Utah, especially where safety's concerned. Here's why. On any road, you can imagine the paths that cars might take, and anywhere these paths touch, you get a conflict point, a potential crash. A four-way intersection has 32 conflict points. And the worst kind of conflicts, the T-bone and head-on crashes, they're all crammed right in the middle. Roundabouts avoid these severe conflict points by going around them. And when we imagine the roundabout paths, there we go, we get 8 conflict points, from 32 down to 8. And since none of these conflict points are the super bad kind, even if there is a crash, it's a rear end or side to side crash, the less severe kind. In fact, a study of non-roundabouts that were later converted to roundabouts found that fatal and serious crashes were reduced by as much as 88%. And they're surprisingly simple to drive. Slow down, yield to vehicles already in the roundabout, and go when there's an opening. And this is where the genius of a roundabout really shines through. You see, when we choose locations for roundabouts, we're looking for a moderate amount of traffic that's using all connecting roads, which gives us a roundabout where exiting vehicles create openings for other drivers in all directions. Watch for it next time you're at a roundabout. A car exits, which lets another car enter, and that car eventually exits on and on. It's like a perpetual motion machine that's super efficient at moving cars safely. And that safety extends to pedestrians as well. Cars are already going slower, and they're yielding in both directions to pedestrians, which they should be doing everywhere, by the way. And we also have these raised islands at the entry to most roundabouts, which allow pedestrians to cross one direction at a time. First watching for exiting vehicles to yield, and then for entering vehicles to yield. If you're on a bicycle, you have two options at a roundabout. Follow pedestrian or bicycle paths beside the road. This is recommended for most people. Or advanced riders might choose to stay on the road. Just keep in mind that roundabouts don't really have shoulders because of the constant entering and exiting. So if you are on the road, occupy the entire lane like a car. And that's it. Fewer conflict points and slower speeds make roundabouts an efficient, safe, and not so strange option for cars, bikes, and pedestrians at Utah intersections. Another example of how UDOT keeps Utah moving safely.
Okay, so that's our roundabout video. And if it's okay, Patrice, I'll just go right into the next memo I had.
Please do, Roger.
Apologies for the free ads there at the end.
All good. Thanks for getting us queued up, Chris. So I had a memo about our roundabout progress. Last month, we gave a presentation on our preliminary results and shared all the listings of the recommended locations. Since then, we just highlighted in the document that was posted with this meeting's materials, those intersections that are on state roads, just highlighting those in blue. The other ones were the recommended locations were highlighted in yellow. And we had asked at the June meeting that if TC members had comments to provide those, there was an online GIS tool that was offered. We did get comments from about five towns. I have looked at that with our consultant VHB. At this time, there were some good comments from our towns, things like the approach roadways were might be a little too steep, there were some right-of-way issues, and also the town's knowledge of specific DOT projects that are currently underway, under design, or soon to be constructed. Right now, considering that we still plan to show our recommendations as we had them so that if in the future things change, we would still be documenting them as good roundabout locations from the basic criteria of being good crash reduction measures. So with that, what we'd like to do is make this available. If you want to try to go after SS4A funding for an implementation grant for any of these projects, which are good documented data-driven crash location problems and good solutions, we want to get that in our action plan so it would be available for a grant application. In order to do that, we have to have it approved by the policy board no later than their June 24th meeting so that you could get an application in by the July 10th deadline. So I'm asking if you want to take another look at those recommended locations and our recommendations, and if there's any things that really jump out at you that are a problem or you disagree with what we have in there, let me know. And I'm asking as soon as May 1st, because we're going to have a little bit of work trying to get this into our action plan and then get it approved so that it could be used for funding. So feel free to contact me with any questions. And thank you.
Thank you, Roger. And for those who weren't with us during the subcommittee meeting, it's especially important to get it into the plan if you are wishing to apply for funding, as you said, Roger, or just to get it into the plan would be helpful either way. But thank you for the presentation. Are there any questions for Roger regarding the roundabouts or comments?
How can we get access to the video?
Maybe we can post that, Chris. We'll try to post that. I don't know the best way to distribute it right now, but I would think we could get it on our website.
Already sent it in the chat.
Okay. Oh, in the chat. There you go. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Anything else for Roger? Okay. We will move on.
One moment. Sorry. I do have a chat message here from Chris Edge, and he's asking where is the list?
The list is part of my memo is on the that was posted with the TC documents.
It was the regional roundabout screening memo.
Right.
All right.
Thank you.
I will duck and we will move on. The Bill and IJA update, Elizabeth, if you are there, please.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Didn't want to go into too much more. I know I got it delved in a lot with the subcommittee. So just an overview that we have a proposed approach for CROG screening of grant opportunities. And this is to take advantage of the $1.2 trillion that's been appropriated by the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, IJA Bill, BIL. Where Connecticut's share is expected to be $6 billion. So we have an opportunity to take advantage of some discretionary grant opportunities through this and hoping to collaborate with each of you on priority projects. So asking you to send us your projects and then we can go through and do a screening here of which funding opportunities may help you to get additional needed funds to either continue with planning, design, implementation, so construction projects, so that we end up with something to show for after this five-year term is over. So came up with some target programs that will help us to the greatest opportunities for our region to solve some of our longstanding transportation issues. So Safe Streets and Roads for All and SS4A is one. Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity, RAISE, is two. Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities, BRIC, and Bridge Investment Program, BIP, Reconnecting Communities, RCP, Charging and Fueling Infrastructure, Discretionary Grant Program, that's related to the electrification of our transportation system, CFI, and then Multimodal Project Discretionary Grant, MPDG, which is really three grants in one. So this is not an exhaustive list, but it is, you know, a targeted list so that we can be efficient in how we are approaching some of the projects that might be most meaningful to our region. So next steps are just ask that you submit your priority projects to me, esanderson@crog.org is my email address. If you have questions, you can call me 860-724-4701. But yeah, just looking for, you know, the name of the municipality, the point of contact, contact information, and then project descriptions, which is the location, the roadway ownership. Does it involve state right-of-way? What are the goals and purpose of the project? And anticipated total costs, the amount of funding needed, the type of source of local match, and a description of any preliminary work that you may have done already. On the project. And that way I can do a review and screen to find potential funding opportunities. And the next page of the memo is a table of those seven programs that is completed with links to the program pages with additional information. So that covers this first category here. And then part two, are there any questions so far though? Okay, hearing none. Mephisto, okay. Patrice, would you like me to continue with part two?
Yes, or? I'm sorry. Yes, sorry. Please do, Elizabeth. I thought you were on a roll there, so I didn't want to interrupt.
So the second part of the bill update is SS4A round two, which was announced at the end of March. So just going into deeper, more information about that upcoming deadline is July 10th. So for the Safe Streets and Roads for All, over a billion dollars is available for safety plans and projects that significantly reduce or eliminate roadway fatalities and serious injuries for all users, right? So as we are building out our roadways to accommodate all users, pedestrian, bicyclists, e-bikes, all kinds of different tractor trailers, everybody. We all have to share the roads, and there's ways that we can make them safer. And so there's two types of grant applications, so planning and demonstration grants, which was last round known as the action plan grants. And these are to develop, update, or supplement comprehensive safety action plans that comply with specific components. So the action plan that CROG is prepared to use as the basis for funding is our regional transportation safety plan. And we can entertain suggestions to add language to this plan, but it is, we have a very short window. That plan would need to be updated by June. As Roger mentioned before, that incorporating that roundabout screening is something that we're looking at. But if there's other countermeasures that you would like included in your specific municipality to address safety concerns on the identified high crash corridors or the high crash intersections, let us know and we can do a review and see if we can't incorporate those in short order for the July 10th deadline. And second grant type is the implementation grant, and that can include projects and strategies consistent with an existing action plan, which is why it's so important to get our action plan in a way that is going to serve our purposes. But they can also include, the implementation grant applications can also include planning and demonstration projects as well. So just some overview of the timelines we're looking at. July 10th deadline, valid eval is the grant submission software database that they're using at USDOT instead of grants.com. So May 5th, we're hoping to get some intent to apply forms back from you all as to what priority projects that you're looking at for your towns in order to apply for whether it's the planning and demonstration grant or the implementation grant. And you can review the regional transportation safety plan. There's a link in the memo to that, as well as hopefully still in the chat, unless you're new to the meeting. But there's the regional transportation safety plan, which we could, incorporate new updates, and then looking to coordinate with you to see what else you might need from us to help in preparing a compelling application. So it could be you might maps, assistance collecting data, grant writing assistance, or other. We can do reviews as well to make sure that whatever you have written, meets the selection criteria as been presented in the notice of funding opportunity. So we're going to be hosting a workshop on May 9th at 10 a.m. And that will allow us to, again, you know, go, get into deeper detail with each of the folks that are interested in applying for this opportunity. And yeah, so May 9th, and then Connecticut DOT has requested that anybody interested in a letter of support from them submit certain information by May 30th. And there's information about what they're looking for in the memo, really just, you know, project descriptions, costs, amount of funding requests, sources of the match, and then which type of grant. And just keeping in mind that you may need local approvals in order to get funding. So whatever meetings or letters of support you need from your municipalities. And then I liked this, the presentation was a little easier for me to follow along, but just looking at Prague can help by additional ways that we can help is by preparing a self-certification eligibility worksheet, which is required as a submission requirement, and then calculating certain data, preparing the mapping and letters of support, and reviewing applications. Thank you. If there's any questions, please reach out.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And just for those who weren't in attendance in the subcommittee meeting, Elizabeth just summarized a very long and well put together presentation for the subcommittee. But the key, I think, is prior to that July 10th deadline, there are other deadlines that need to be met that are more internal deadlines for us and for CROG if you have a project. And the memo that's sitting up on the screen right now, which was part of the packet, I believe will help with those deadlines, and try to stick with those and keep in line your own internal deadlines as well, as Elizabeth pointed out. So if there are any questions or comments, we'll take those now for Elizabeth. I don't see any or hear any, but you all know how to get in touch with her at CROG if you have any. And thank you, Elizabeth, for the presentation. We will move on to the LUTSIP quarterly report. Sartoria.
Thank you, Patrice. And good afternoon, everybody. So this is the quarter three quarterly report. There are some spreadsheets, worksheets that are attached to this memo, but I'm just going to go over the highlights. But if anyone has any specific questions or comments regarding all of the report, please let me know, or any changes that need to be provided, just email me or text me or however, get in touch with me. Okay, so first of all, Condat issued two authorization to award letters totaling $4.9 million. One was for Windsor International Drive for $1.9 million and Farmington State Route roundabout for a little over $3 million. The Farmington one was actually awarded in December, but it was after our last quarterly report was submitted. So I included it in this report. So to date, total amount of projects awarded in FY 2023 is a little over $30 million, which is unbelievable. So thank you very much to all the municipalities. I know you've worked very hard to try to advance your projects, and this is the result of it. So thank you very much. And we're not done yet. We still have four projects that received authorization to advertise letters in the amount of $10 million. And Marlboro North Main Street was one, Southington Plantsville Intersection Improvement, Glastonbury Gateway, and Stafford Furnace Avenue. And all of them are in advertising. Three of them have already submitted their bid tabulation, so they should hopefully be awarded very shortly. And then CROG received 8 design submissions. So thank you for that. We anticipate a receipt of 12 in Q4. And it's listed what type of design submissions. We've had 61 projects awarded or completed since the program's inception. 5 project applications were submitted to CONDUT. They're listed below. And so thank you also for providing the revised applications to CROG so that they can be in turn submitted to CONDUT. So I know a lot of municipalities have worked very diligently to get those done as well. And then CROG received 6 commitment to fund letters, and they're listed below. So we have a lot of projects that are continuing to be advanced and in the queue. So good job, everybody. So thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to echo what Satori has said about the $30 million and possibly up to $40 million that will be awarded this year in LHTSIP, which is fantastic that we're delivering on that much money in one fiscal year. It's going to be a record for us. And so congratulations to everybody in getting your projects past the finish line. Thank you.
Any questions or comments regarding the quarterly report? Very good. Thank you, Satoria.
Thank you.
Hearing none, we will move on to the 2024 LHTSIP solicitation, Satoria and Rob.
Okay, thank you. Again, so very briefly, I know we still haven't gotten through the 2023 or 2022 solicitation, but as everyone knows, and Rob had mentioned in the subcommittee, the 2023 solicitation was an interim solicitation. So we have another pending 2024 LHTSIP solicitation. So the plan is for the summertime to analyze the financials of the LHTSIP program, present to the committee, and then we anticipate another solicitation in the fall, you know, pending selection criteria being approved and then the financials. So that's it for now.
Great. Rob, do you have anything to add or?
Yeah, just a little bit. As Satoria mentioned, this was an interim solicitation. We typically do a solicitation every 2 years, but we did one in 2020. We wanted to get to an over-program state, so instead of waiting till 2024, we did a 2023 in between. And really, it was a bridge solicitation with a half of a regular solicitation attached to it. So it was, we received a record number of projects, though, so it was very competitive. And to those who didn't get selected in this round, there's obviously a next round. There's also all the opportunities that Elizabeth mentioned. And I do want to put a plug in for the federal opportunities because they are there may be projects that don't that aren't eligible for LHTSIP or that are above the $4 million threshold that LHTSIP or a cap that LHTSIP has. And just as an example, for those of you who weren't on the subcommittee meeting, Waterbury received a raise grant in the amount of $23.1 million. So that is way above what a LHTSIP solicitation would allow for in any region. CROG received a $16.4 million raise grant last time around. So the upper limit on the federal opportunities is way higher than what could be in LHTSIP. Now there is on most of the programs, there is a 20% match. But we do want to still hear from you if you cannot obtain the full 20%, we may be able to bring the project, if we know about the project, bring it up to our counterparts with the state agencies and see if there is any opportunity for them to participate. So please, even if you don't have the 20% match, the full 20% match, we'd love to hear of any potential projects from you and work with you towards any kind of submission for federal funding. So thank you. And one more thing. These grants might be around for a while. So even if it is a smaller project, you may want to get your feet wet. For Waterbury, they received a Tiger grant in the past and dealt directly with FHWA. This is a direct recipient responsibility where CONDOT is not in the middle. They dealt with FHWA and they had such a successful time with that. They applied again this last round and received their award again. So they had a successful experience. So although the federal guidelines can be somewhat restrictive at times, they did have a positive experience.
Very good. I think those are words of wisdom, Rob. Very good. Thank you. Any questions for Rob or Satoria?
Patrice, if I could just mention, in the 2023 solicitation, which we will discuss a little bit later on, but some of the projects that weren't funded and they were excellent projects, we hope or encourage you to resubmit these projects in the 2024 solicitation, and we would be happy to provide a debrief to help your rankings of your projects prior to the solicitation.
Very good. Thank you. We will move on to the support letter for the Charter Oak Bridge Project Award application. Rob?
Yes, the DOT has completed a massive project in our region, and you all probably know about it. We've talked about it before, but the Charter Oak Bridge Project, which improved the northbound connection from I-91 to the Charter Oak Bridge. If you all remember back, there was massive, consistent backups at that location with queues stretching over a mile and a half. When they did propose the project, when they looked at not only the congestion issue that was on the nation's top 100 bottlenecks for freight in the nation, but also there were 500 crashes in 3 years along that queued backup, with 200 of them involving injuries. So it was a major, major safety concern for the region and for the DOT. And now that that is finished, and although there were some backups during construction with one lane to the left, now that it's finished, I have not seen a backup there since it's been finished. Maybe others have, but I think it's been a great success, and look forward to seeing that much less accidents when we have three more years of data to look back upon. So this is a support letter from CROG for an ASHTO award for the project. And we're hopeful that CONDOT gets recognized. Thank you.
It's great. I use that bridge quite a bit, and I agree totally with your comments, Rob. No backups. Any comments? All right, we will move on to the executive director's update. Welcome to the meeting, Matt.
Thank you, Patrice. Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you at today's meeting. Just a couple things I wanted to emphasize that staff has already reported on. First, the project screening initiative. You know, we've put a lot of time and effort into this. I'd like to thank Elizabeth and Rob and the other staff who've worked on it. And we're very, very hopeful that it will be helpful to you. You know, we'd like your feedback on the process as we move along. But this is really part of our efforts here at CROG, you know, to assist you in your work and to help ensure that we're able to take full advantage as a region of these unique grant opportunities. So big thanks to our team for putting that together, and really want to encourage you to take advantage of it. On a related point, just to emphasize a few points that Rob made on Safe Streets for All. You know, we're aware, COGS across the state are aware of the challenges that the local match poses for some of our municipalities. And we've brought that to the attention of CT Built, which is the state unit under Commissioner Mark Boughton that's responsible for coordinating the state's efforts here. They're well aware of it too. So if you've got a good project for Safe Streets or another one of these opportunities that come up and the match is posing a barrier or a challenge for you, you know, we want to know. We want to know so that we can go back to CT Built and help demonstrate, help make the case, because we're working with CT Built and others to try to develop some creative solutions around the match. So again, if you've got a good project, but that local match is proving to be a real barrier for you, please let us know. Please bring that project to our attention so we can do our best to secure funding for it. And while we can't promise anything, we really want to work on this because, as Rob said, there are several years remaining in the program. And then last but not least, Patrice, I did want to thank our staff team for their hard work on the MTP. You know, that's an item later on today's agenda. You know, we completed this update without consulting assistance this time around. It was a major, major lift for the team. I think they did a fabulous job and wanted to note that. That completes my report. Happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you, Matt. And I totally agree with the accolades to the team for the report. Excellent job. Do we have any comments or questions for Matt? I don't see any or hear any. So we will move on to other. We have a support letter, Rob.
Yes, this is another support letter. And this came to us after the mailing. So it wasn't posted, but it is now posted to our website. This is a support a letter for the Connecticut Department of Transportation Microtransit Pilot Program. It's a GHTD application that we're supporting. They are partnering with M7 and Rideco to create demand responsive service in two areas that don't have a lot of fixed transit at the moment. And this would be demand responsive services both from Southington and Innsfield, or Plainville and Southington. And an infield in East Windsor between those two communities or those two areas. So two areas, one Southington Plainville area and the other infield East Windsor, where GHTD will be looking to get this funding to provide those services. And we have a letter of support here. Thanks.
Terrific. That's great. Any questions or comments regarding the letter? Very good. We will move on to TIP amendments. Rob, still up.
Yes, we have 8 TIP amendments with various subcategories to various phases for certain projects. I'll try to make this easy and start with number 4, which is our main non-state highway type of project, which is an earmark in East Hartford. It's for construction of over a half mile trail, 3,500 feet of trail. And that is to be obligated this year, 2023. So we're looking forward to that project being obligated and the trail being extended to the east. Then we have 7 other projects. The remainder of the projects on here, except for number 4, of course, are on state roadways. Number 1 says Hartford Tunnel Study. Now, this is not the tunnel that, this is an existing tunnel, not any proposed tunnel. So this is the tunnel where it's really a cap over the highway. When you're driving westbound, you'll see Welcome to Hartford on the facade in Boise down there. Anyhow, that's the tunnel we're talking about. And it's to study the structural deficiencies and the electrical deficiencies there. It's in need of repair. And so the study will take care of what needs to be done for that tunnel. Then beyond that, we have a number of more programmatic type improvements where there's numerous deficient walls. There's a program to improve various retaining walls for number two and number three, 21 walls in total. There's for five and six, there's various signs on the highways. And for seven, there's number seven is 7 miles of paving on I-84. And then number eight is a half mile noise barrier in Southington on I-691. So a number of projects just to maintain our state highway assets. So in looking at them, all appear appropriate. So we'd be looking for your approval if there are no questions.
Thank you, Rob. Are there any questions or comments before we take action? And if not, I will take a motion to approve the amendments as presented.
Larry Burrell, so moved.
Thank you, Larry. Is there a second?
Chris Hedge, second.
Thank you, Chris. Any comments, questions, concerns? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much, everybody. Lots of funding increase requests. Sotoria, this is for Southington.
Thank you, Patrice. Good afternoon again. So this was a funding increase request by the town of Southington. The subcommittee recommended for approval. The increase is for $1.2 million from the $3 million, which was the engineer's estimate to a little over $4.2 million, a 39.2% increase. And this was, the project is already through the design process. And this is actually the competitive low bid that came in at $3.5 million. And this is the low bid plus the 10% incidentals, 10% contingencies, totals of $4.29 million. The project was originally approved in a 2015 solicitation. So the subcommittee recommended for approval to allow the town to accept the lowest responsible bidder with costs that are substantially higher due to the increased unit prices and recommended for the additional $1.2 million of lots of funding for the Southington-Plantsville intersection improvement project, increasing the funding from a little over $3 million to $4.2 million.
Thank you, Sotoria. Southington, wish to add to the comments?
Sure, thank you. This is Annette Turnquist, the Public Works Director for the town of Southington. Thank you, Sotoria, for that summary. All I really wanna say is that we appreciate your consideration in this. I mentioned at the subcommittee, but I wanna mention here too, as Sotoria mentioned, this was approved in a 2015 solicitation. So it's been around for quite a while. It's been talked about in our town even before that year. So we prefer not to do value engineering and, you know, give our business owners in Plantsville half a project or lesser project than what they've been expecting. So your consideration in this additional funding is greatly appreciated by the town. So thank you.
Thank you, Annette. Do I have a motion to approve the funding increase for the Southington Plantsville Center safety improvements?
So move, Chris Edge.
Thank you, Chris. Do I have a second?
Second, Adam Kepler.
Thank you, Adam. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Aye. Any abstentions? It is unanimous. Thank you very much, everybody. The next item on the agenda is the Transportation Rural Improvement Program, or TRIP, the project priority list. Chris.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. So back in November, we released a solicitation for projects to be considered under CONDOT's TRIP program. We had also gone through and asked for the approval. We had done some approval for previously for rating criteria as well back in October, and also put forward some comments back way back in the summer. Under the solicitation, we can only submit 4 projects to CONDOT for funding consideration. We received 7, so we had to score using our criteria, which was approved back in October. So this is our final list of projects that we will be submitting on to CONDOT. And so these will be sent to the DOT before April 28th, so this Friday. And we're looking for a recommendation to the policy board for their approval of said, for their endorsement for the list of projects to be submitted to CONDOT. So we are asking the committee for their recommendation of these rankings.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments regarding the findings and the recommendation that we're going to put forth? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll take a motion to approve the, or actually recommend the approval to the policy board. That's what you're looking for, right?
Correct.
Okay, of the trip priority list.
So move, Chris Edge.
Thank you, Chris. Is there a second?
Dave Smith, Vernon, second.
Thanks, Dave. Any other questions, comments? Hearing and seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any extensions? Very good. We are passed unanimously. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Next item is the 2023 lots of solicitation draft project selections. Satoria?
Thank you again. So this is table one, and it shows staff project selection recommendations for the lots of solicitation, the 2023 solicitation that also included the bridge. It's $36.3 million, or approximately $36.3 million worth of projects that were recommended for approval to the and recommendation to the policy board. As you can see, we did go over the specifics in the subcommittee, but I'm just going to go over just briefly. As you can see, the traditional reconstruction projects is $21.8 million. The bridge culvert improvement project is $5.5 million. Originally, there was $15 million allocated for the reconstruction projects and $10 million for the bridge. Since there was money left over for the bridge, we reallocated it to the reconstruction projects. And then also we did that with the pedestrian and bicycle projects. But prior to that, we have the standalone sidewalk projects, which there were 5 projects submitted, 5 that were funded for $4 million. And then the bicycle and pedestrian projects were also funded. There was an allocation of $2.5 million. And $1.9 million were funded. Those were the 2 projects that were submitted. The money that was reallocated, the difference between the 2.5 and the 1.9 million was reallocated to the reconstruction project. And then finally, there was also a rural set aside recommendation, and this was the highest ranked rural project after the funding of or the allocations for the other projects. So we're making we're recommending, or the subcommittee made the recommendation for approval, and then hopefully go on to the policy board in May.
Thank you, Satoria. And this table was part of the April 19th memo that was part of the packet for the lots of solicitation staff ratings and draft selections, in case you missed it, but it was in there. Subcommittee did recommend approval, so I am looking for a motion to recommend the same to the policy board. Do I have that motion?
So made, Chris Edge.
Thank you, Chris. Is there a second?
Larry Burrell, second.
Thank you, Larry. Is there any questions, comments, anything else we'd like to discuss before we vote on this? Hearing none, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? It is unanimous. Thank you very much, Satoria.
Thank you very much, and thank you to all the municipalities that submitted projects.
Yeah, very good. A couple of resolutions. The first is a resolution for adoption of the 2023 to 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. Kara.
Great. Thanks, Patrice. So we've been talking the past several months about the update to our Metropolitan Transportation Plan. This is what was formerly known as the Long Range Transportation Plan. So that is why it goes all the way out to 2050. We have completed a 30-day public comment period for this. We had public meetings. Attached to this memo was a log of the comments that we received on the draft version that was available during that time, as well as staff's responses to how those comments will be addressed in the final draft. A lot of the comments, the changes that are made are kind of clarifying language, some small additions. Some of the comments were kind of outside the scope of the MTP itself, so we gave some additional information about how such things would be handled in other efforts or in future efforts. So what we're looking for today is a committee recommendation up to policy board for adoption of the MTP, with the understanding that we will incorporate the comments indicated in that table. And as we've done in the past, allowing a small leeway for additional minor changes if the federal agencies or DOT have any small additional edits that they request that would not substantively change the content of the recommendations within the plan.
Thank you, Kara. And at the very tail end of the attachments that was posted online, there is a resolution for the adoption of the 2023 to 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. Do I have a motion for that resolution?
So made, Chris Edge.
Thank you, Chris. Do I have a second?
Frank, second.
Thank you, Frank. Are there any comments or questions or concerns? I know there have been, as Kara said, time periods for those comments and questions. And I know we received something via email to also review and send in comments. But are there any additional? Hearing none, seeing none, I will ask for a vote on the resolution. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? It is unanimously passed. Thank you very much, Kara. The other resolution we are looking at is a conformity with the Clean Air Act for ozone. Also, Kara?
Thank you. So anytime we pass an MTP, as we just recommended that we're going to do, we also need to confirm that the projects included within that Metropolitan Transportation Plan are in compliance with the Clean Air Act. CROG is within a ozone non-attainment area. So we are given kind of an emissions budget. The DOT performs the analysis on a statewide basis. Conformity report was also available during that same 30-day comment period, and we received no comments on that. So we are just looking for kind of concurrence from the MPO that we are in conformity with the Clean Air Act.
Thank you. And again, attached to this memo at the second page is the resolution for the conformity with the Clean Air Act for ozone. Recommendation to the policy board. Is that correct? Yeah.
Correct.
So I will take a motion to approve that resolution.
Larry Burrell, so moved.
Thank you, Larry. Do I have a second?
Chris Edge, second.
Thank you, Chris. Are there any comments or questions regarding this resolution? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposition? Any abstentions? It passes unanimously. Thank you again, Kara.
Thank you.
We have any other business to come before the Transportation Committee today? I believe our next meeting is the same as the next meeting for the subcommittee. Is that correct? Would that be May 22nd?
Correct.
All right. Without any other business, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So move, Chris Edge.
Thank you, Chris. Second? I'll second that. How about that? I'm not even going to ask. I assume everybody is in consensus to adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much. There's a lot of items to cover today in an hour. Grateful for to have you all with us. And hopefully everybody has the rest of a great rest of your week. And we'll see you next month. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patrice. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you, Patrice.
You're welcome. Anytime.